All right, tonight's shiur, we're going to be covering Masechet Brachot, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Bet, and Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, at least a little bit of that. We are actually at the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Bet. We finished up over around here the last time at the word Pilpili. And tonight we're going to be talking about a few things. We're going to start with Pilpili, which is peppercorns. And then we're going to go on to mizonos. We're going to talk a lot about mizonos. And we have in the middle, we'll have a little interlude for a special Hashgacha Pratis story that happened just this week. And then we will finish up with some halacha lemaaseh about specific shailas with regards to mizonos. Okay? All right, let's get started. So the Gemara, we're picking from over here with the word pilpili. So pilpili is peppercorns. We're not talking about pepper like yellow pepper, red pepper, green pepper, anything like that. We're talking about pepper like the pepper that you grind, that grows from the ground. So the Gemara says, pilpili, what bracha do you make on that? What do you guys think? What bracha are we going to make on this pilpili? So the Gemara says, Rav Sheshes Amar, Shehakol. Rav Amar, Lo Klum. Rav Sheshes says, you say Shehakol. And Rav says, there's no bracha. A little bit. Rava says no bracha. Lo klum. Vazar l'tamei dama Rava. Kas pilpili biyom de kipuri. Pater. Kas sangvila biyom de kipuri. Pater. Rava goes according to his shita because he says elsewhere, he says by Yom Kippur that if a person is chewing on pepper, okay, on Yom Kippur. Anybody ever do that? Simon, you ever chew on pepper on Yom Kippur? You ever try that?
Every Yom Kippur.
So it's fine, no problem. At least it's pater. I wouldn't say it's fine. You chew on pepper on Yom Kippur, you're not going to be chayev kares. Pater be kares. Doesn't mean you should do it, but you're not chayev and kares. And therefore, Rava says, by the same token, there's no bracha that's made on it. It's not a normal thing to eat. Rashi says, kol davar sha'adam ochel shalokadako mikri ksisa. It's chewing. You're chewing on something that's not normal to chew on. Pepper is something that you sprinkle. It's something you put on other things. It's not something that you eat straight up. And also, kas zangvili, what's zangvili? Get right now. I'm going to tell you in a second.
It's ginger.
Ginger, that's right. Kas zangvili is ginger. So ginger is the same thing. Ginger is something that you put into your drink. It's not something that you chew on, apparently. So Ravas is based on that. You don't make a bracha on these things. Meitive, though. What's the meitive? What kind of question is a meitive? From a higher source. So you're going to have a mission over here. Now we're introduced to the concept of etzo upiryo shave, that there is a fruit that its tree is the same as its fruit, and that tree, and that fruit rather, is chayav in orla, because it says arlatem arlaso es piryo. So what kind of fruit is this? What kind of tree is this? Ezuze a pilpilin. This is pilpilin, peppercorns. Lamedcha pilpilin chayavin ba'orla. It tells you that pilpilin are chayavin orla. Ooh, lelamedcha, she'ein Eretz Yisrael chasera klum. Shneimar Eretz asher lo b'miskinot tochal ba'lechem lo tachsar kol ba. It tells you that Eretz Yisrael has everything. This is all Rabbi Meir's teaching. So Rabbi Meir says that orla applies to pilpilin. Well, we learned before that orla can only apply to fruits that you make a bracha on, that you're serious about. So we have to pick a side here. Reb Meir says that pilpel is in fact something that's worthy of a bracha because he says it can be orla, and Rava doesn't think it even gets a bracha. So which one is it? So what do you guys think? Which one is it? How are we going to fix this problem? So it depends how you're eating it. Lo kasha. Ha beretivta, ha beyavashta. Ratuv is wet. One is when you're eating it wet, and one is when you're eating it dry. When you're eating it wet, so then that's considered a food. Yeah, you get it a little bit wet, and then it kind of gives ta'am to the water, I guess, or at least it becomes edible. The peppercorns become edible. But if you eat it only straight up, dry, so then there's no bracha on that. Amrei Rabbanan the Maremar Kasang Vila Biyoma de Kippuri Pater, Bahama Rava Hamalta, Da'atya Mibe Hamduya. Sharia, Umavarchen Ale, Bori Pri Ha'adama. Ah, we also said that ginger you're not chayev if you eat it on Yom Kippur. But wait a second, the same Rava that we were quoting before, he said Hamalta, which Rashi says is litorio. I don't know what this is. Litorio, I forget now. But it's something, this Indian food. He says you're going to be chayev for it, which is like ginger. So what's going on? So the answer, same answer. Habaratifta, abivashta. This is when you're eating it dry, and this is when you're eating it wet. When you're eating it wet, it's edible, and you make a bracha. When you're eating it dry, it's not edible, so you don't make a bracha.
Just one question. Orla, what does it matter how you're eating the fruit to be chayev and orla? It's a chiyuv on the tree.
The peppercorn tree itself is chayev and orla. You're right. The fruit itself is going to be chayev and orla. That only goes to show that it's considered a vegetable or a fruit. It's considered a valid fruit. Now, when you're eating it, if you eat it in an unnatural way, then you're not going to make a bracha on it. By the same token, Yoel, if you eat, I think in the end we said that if you chew on barley, you do make a bracha. But there was a havamina to say that you're not going to make a bracha, right? But nobody would ever say that barley is not considered a fruit. It's not going to be. It's a vegetable, but yeah. But you get my point.
Orla has nothing to do with it. We're just talking about the bracha.
We're only talking in terms of the distinction between dry and wet. That's only talking about the bracha. The only point that we are bringing up when we bring up orla is to prove that it's considered a fruit and that it's edible. Because if it wasn't, then it wouldn't be chayv and orla.
Okay.
All right. Now we turn a corner. Now we're going to talk about a different food. Okay. Chavitz kedera. Chavitz kedera v'chein daisa. Rashi says, "What's chavitz kedera? Min ma'achal kafui kamo chalav shechavtzuhu bekiba. Kach osin ma'achal kafui bekedera ulekaman mefarish lakim choladub shav mashka v'kari la avrushti." It's some kind of calzone, basically. It's food that you combine flour and some kind of bread-like substance with. Here he's talking about chalav, and they're talking about rennet, and they're going to talk later on about putting in honey. So, okay, so some kind of calzone type of mixture. Chavitz kedera. V'chein daisa. And also daisa, daisa being some kind of cereal. Okay? Rashi says, shalchitim kedushot b'machteshet. This is a grain that's been ground, and then gets put into some kind of food, like a porridge type of thing. So what's the bracha? Rav Yehuda Amar Shakol Niyavid Varo. Rav Kahana Amar Bari Minei Mizonos. Okay, so it's machlokes between Rav Kahana and Rav Yehuda about whether or not it's Shahakol and whether or not it's Mizonos. What are they arguing about? No, what are they arguing about? Okay, so Rav Kahana Amar Bari Minei Mizonos, but daisa grei dakol yamla pligi de Amar Bari Mizonos pligi be daisa kein chavitz kedera. When we talk about just regular grain that's been basically just ground up, then everybody agrees that that's actually going to be a Bari Minei Mizonos. The point is when it's mixed up with something else, does that change the bracha? Rav Yehuda Amar Shakol Savar Duvsha Iker. Rav Yehuda says when you mix it up with honey, then the honey is the iker. Because you're eating it for the taste of, the taste of the honey. But Rav Kahana says, no, Bari Minei Mizonot, Savar D'Simi De'Ikar, he says that the flour is the Ikar. Amar Rav Yosef, Kevate de Rav Kahana Mistabra, Rav Kahana is right. Why? De Rabu Shmuel Damitravayu Kol She'yesh Bo Mechameshet Minin Mevarchin Alav Bari Minei Mizonot. Rav and Shmuel drop this on us and they say, anytime you eat something that has in it the five grains, then the bracha is going to be borei minei mizonot. So that's the argument between Rav Kahana and Rav Yehuda. And it sounds like Rav Kahana holds like Rav and Shmuel, and Rav Yehuda disagrees. It sounds like Rav Yehuda is disagreeing with Rav and Shmuel. That's the simplest way to read this. Okay. All right, we continue in the same vein, basically. Gufa means that we're going to discuss something that we just mentioned. Gufa, Rabu Shmuel Damit Shavayo, Kol Sheyesh Bo Mechameshet Haminim Mevarchan Alav Bari Minei Mizonot. V'etmar nami, Ravu Shmuel, Damar Shavayu, Kol Shehu, B'chamesha Taminin, B'varchan Alav, B'rei Minei B'zanot. We have two separate and parallel statements by Rav Shmuel. They're very similar. One of them says, Kol Sheyesh Bo Chamesha Taminin, B'varchan Alav, B'rei Minei B'zanot. Anything that has in it the five grains, the bracha is B'zanot. And the other one is, Kol Shehu Mei Chamesha Taminin. Anything which is of the Chamesha Tamin and the five grains is Brahman Ibsanat. And the Gemara wants to know, why do we need both of these? They sound like they're saying the same thing. Utsricha, we need both of these. Diashmin and Kalshu Ava, Kalshu, if we only said Kalshu, Michamesha Taminin, anything which is of the five grains, Hava Minim Mishum Diiti Be'ine. I would think that that's because we're talking about cases where you're eating the five grains, and you can see that it's the five grains. In other words, you're eating a piece of bread. Okay? You're eating a piece of bread, and you can see the bread. And you're eating that bread with maybe with some other ingredient. But you can see it. It's be'ein. Aval al-idei tarovet, lo. But if it would be mixed up, and you wouldn't be able to detect that, well, I mean, it wouldn't be visible that you're eating a grain. So like, I don't know, a chocolate bar with a wafer in it or something like that, where it's kind of in there. So that would be a tarot, then maybe I shouldn't make a mazonot on it. Kamash malanda, that's not true. What about the other side? So the other side, kamash kol sheyesh bo, if I only add, kamash malanda kol sheyesh bo, sorry. Anytime it has the five grains in it. And if I only had the halacha that anything that has in it the five grains, meaning the chocolate wafer, then I would say, okay, that's going to be a mezonot. So this one's a little longer. It says, if I only had the statement of kol sheyesh bo, then I would learn that anything that that has in it the five grains is going to be a berei minei mezonot. But the inverse of that would be, whenever I have a grain product that is just the grain product, like pure grain product, and you can see it on the outside, maybe with a little bit of mix, other things mixed in, but you can see that it's a grain product, I'm definitely going to make a mezonot on that. Even if it's the grain is orez or dochan, even if it's orez or dochan, I would have thought that I'd still make a mezonot. So that's why we have this second statement of kol shehu michamesha taminin. To tell me that I only ever make a mezonot on the five grains, and orez and dochan are not the five grains.
What is dochan?
Dochan is millet.
Millet.
Or as Rashi says, actually Rashi over here says it's mil, and dochan is pants. I don't know what that is. But Tosot says orez is rizo, or rizo, which is apparently rice, and dochan is mil, which I think is the accepted translation. I don't know what Rashi means, but that seems to be the accepted translation. I mean, certainly in modern Hebrew, orez is rice. So what this comes to tell us is that, in fact, the bracha on rice, on orez, and dochan is not borei minei mezonot. What's the Gemara going to ask? David, what's the Gemara going to ask?
They're going to ask about bread probably now, no?
We're not getting to bread yet. We're stuck on rice. What's the Gemara going to ask about rice? What did we just say? We just said that this is coming to tell us that only the five grains get a borei minei mezonot, but rice does not.
So what's the bracha on rice?
What is the bracha on rice?
I think we say mezonot.
We do say mezonot. We do say mezonot. So the Gemara says, but wait a second. Wait a second, it says. Where is it? Here. But there's a brayta that says, if they bring to you bread, it's not bread, but it's a rice cake, let's say, a rice cake or a millet cake, don't know. So We say that we treat orez and dochan, pat orez and dochan, like a masa kedera, which is a calzone or something like that. And you just like you make a mezonot at the beginning and an almichi at the end. So too, it seems that on pat orez and dochan, you should say the same thing.
But do we in fact say an almichi after rice?
No, we do not.
I don't think we do.
No, we do not. So we're still not there yet. So the Gemara says not so fast with this Maisa Kedera business. This is a very strange part of the Gemara. It says, no. Kemaisa Kedera velo Kemaisa Kedera. It's in a way it's like a Maisa Kedera, and in a way it's not. Now I know what you're thinking. The Gemara is not going to say what you're thinking. Kemaisa Kedera de mevarchan lav tchila v'sof velo Kemaisa Kedera de ilav Maisa Kedera betchila borim minim zanot l'v'soch bracha achad min shalosh v'ilu ha'acha betchila mevarchan lav shakol nim zvaro. Okay, so the Gemara says it's like a Maisa Kedera, but it's not like a Maisa Kedera. It's like a Maisa Kedera in the sense that you make a bracha before it and a bracha afterwards. It's not like a Maisa Kedera because a Maisa Kedera you make a mezonot before and alamiche afterwards, and with orez you make a shahakal before and a barina fashot afterwards. Now, why do I think this is strange? What's strange?
You don't make a shahakal before.
That's not what's strange about it, though, because this is according to the opinion that you do make a shahakal before.
Okay.
That's the point of it. But what's strange about it? What's the havamina? Why would I think it's not like a maisa kedera in the sense that I wouldn't make a bracha? I shouldn't make a bracha on rice cakes? Why would I ever think that I wouldn't make a bracha on rice cakes? It's very strange. Okay, fine. Tarachian. So then the Gemara says, V'orez lav masa kedera hu v'atanya elu en masa kedera chilka targis soled zariz v'orson v'orez. All these things are listed as being a masa kedera. Hamani Rabbi Yochan ben Nurihi. Now this Rabbi Yochan ben Nuri is extremely important right now in the tekufa that we're in right now. Why is this Rabbi Yochan ben Nuri important? Look what he says. D'tanya Rabbi Yochan ben Nuri omer orez min daganhu v'chayavin al chimutso karet. V'adam yotze bo yidei chovato b'pesach. Aval Rabbanan lo. What did Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri say that was so important?
Yeah.
He said, he didn't say it's kidney. He didn't say it's kidney.
No, I was joking.
He says it's chametz.
No, you didn't go far enough.
He says rice is chametz.
He says rice is chametz.
No, I know. I'm joking.
Yeah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says rice is chametz. There is a misconception that the chumrah of kidneys comes from Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. It does not. It has nothing to do with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri because Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is wrong. The Gemara doesn't pass like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. It never has and never did. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri does say that orez is a min dagan, which they're saying that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is the author of this braita that said that it's a maisa kedera because he thinks that orez is one of the grains upon which you can make chametz. But the Rabbanan disagree with him. So that knocked that out. Okay, so that's irrelevant. The Gemara says, but wait a second. Rabbanan lo v'atanya. Hakoses etzachita. V'varech aleha boi pri adama. If you chew grain, you make a boi pri adama. Tachna v'afa'al bishlav bezman shepusot kayamot b'tchila v'varech aleha mozi lach min aretz. V'levasof v'varech aleha gimel brachot. Once you make it into bread, of course, you make a hamotzi, and then you bench afterwards. Imena prusot kayamot b'tchila v'varech aleha boi minim zonot. V'levasof v'varech aleha baracha achad mein shalosh. If it never makes it to bread, but it becomes some kind of cake product, then you make a mezonot and an alam mechia. Hakoses et ha'orez. Mevarech alea bari pri adama. Tachno afa'o bishlo. Afa bisha prusot kayamot. Betchila mevarech alea. Alav. Borei minei mezonot. Ulevasof mevarech alav. Baracha achad min shalosh. So, mani ilim Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri hi damar orez min dagan hu. It can't be Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. Why can't it be Rav Yochanan ben Nuri? Because what would Rav Yochanan ben Nuri say you should make on orez that you make into prusot kayamot? Hamotzi, it's right. Hamotzi and bench. But here it says you make a mezonot and an alamechia. So it must be that this is the Rabbanan and that's the halach. And that's a rejection of the position that on orez you don't make a mezonot, you definitely do make a mezonot. And so tiyufta de Rav Shmuel tiyufta. This, the second statement of Rav Shmuel, not the first, but the second statement that it's kol shehu mei chameshat aminin, to exclude Orez and Dochan, that is not correct. You do make a mezonot on Orez and Dochan. The Gemara doesn't conclude this way over here, but elsewhere it does present the position that the bracha afterwards is going to be a barei nefashot rabot v'chesronot. Okay, now we have a few things that we have to do, but as I promised, and we're going to go into mezonot, that's going to be the bulk of our time, but as I promised the hashkacha part of the story. Okay, now this may not make you guys go crazy, may not be so impressive, but to me, I laughed out loud, and I even mentioned it to my wife when it happened. This Shabbos, my father turned to me during davening, and he said, "You know what bracha do you make after eating regular food? You make a barei nefashot. Why is it that in our barei nefashot the bracha is barei nefashot rabot chazanon akam mashabat alaichot b'em nefesh kol chai baruch chei ha'olamim?" And he said he learned this week in Daf Yomi. Right? It was in Daf Yomi, right, Dad? He learned this week in Daf Yomi that whenever you have a bracha that has a longish ending, so you always have to end with a chatima of Baruch Ata Hashem, Chei Ha'olamim. Okay? So why doesn't our Barei Nefeshot have the ending of Baruch Ata Hashem? You start with Baruch and you end with Baruch. Like Baruch Shamar, like Ishtabach, like Alamichya, like all these other brachot. Right? You should end with a Baruch. Baruch Ata Hashem, rather, not just a Baruch. So I gave him an answer, whatever. And then he said, yeah, the Magid Shir and the Daf Yomi Shir said that he follows the Gra. And the Gra actually said, Baruch Ata Hashem, Chei Ha'olamim.
I'm not positive it was the Gra, but he did quote someone.
It's the Gra.
It's the Gra? Okay.
It's the Gra. If you look in the Ma'aseh Rav, the Gra said, Baruch Ata Hashem, Chei Ha'olamim. Which I had not heard before, and I know many of the Nagim of the Gra. I had not heard this one before. Okay, great, amazing. I'm preparing this shiur on Shabbos. I'm just looking. I happen to be looking at Brachos Lamed Vav Amved. What are you guys learning in Daf Yomi, Dad? Psachim, where? Somewhere towards the end. Okay, but we're not learning Psachim. We're learning Brachod, Lamed Vav, and Lamed Zayin. Okay, and I turn the page onto Lamed Zayin Amad Aleph. And I look at the top Tosfot over here. I'm going to read the top Tosfot. Baruch Barei Nefashot Rabot V'Chesronot. Kamo Lechem U'Mayim She'iyav Shar B'lohem V'Alkol Ma Shabara L'Chayot B'Hem Nefesh Kol Chai Klomar. In other words, we say a bracha of Barei Nefashot Rabot V'Chesronot that he makes food for us like Lechem and Mayim, like bread and water he makes so that we won't go hungry. V'Alkol Ma Shabara L'Chayot B'Hem Nefesh Kol Chai Klomar. What does that mean? Al kol masha ba'olam shegamim lo bra'am yicholin ha'olam lechiyot belohem shelo bra'am kim letanuk ba'alma. The beautiful Tosfos. He says, Hashem didn't only make things that we need, but he makes things even that we don't need. Al kol masha barata. Right? Everything that you made, even the things that you made only letanuk ba'alma, right? We don't need, as we're going to get to later, we don't need Ben and Jerry's cookies and cream. Right? We don't need that to survive. But Baruch Hashem, he made it. We'll talk about what the bracha might be for Ben and Jerry's cookies and cream. That might be important. But Tosfot didn't mention Ben and Jerry's cookies and cream. He mentioned tapuchim. Kamo tapuchim. Now, it's actually not clear what tapuchim are. Tapuchim nowadays are apples, of course. But it's very likely that in the days, at least of the Gemara, maybe even Tosfos, tapuchim were etrogim, or citrus fruits. But that's a different conversation. Fine. But this is the key. Look what's in the end of the Tosfot that I happen to be reading this Shabbos after that conversation with my father. Umesayim baruch chei ha'olamim ubeYerushalmi baruch ata Hashem chei ha'olamim. In the Yerushalmi, the girsa for our bracha is baruch ata Hashem chei ha'olamim. This is the source for the Gra. This is the Vilna Gaon source. This is why he said baruch ata Hashem chei ha'olamim. Can you believe it? What are the chances? No. My father turns to me in the morning, asks me a question, and then I find that Tosfos mentions the exact same thing.
I got to ask you more questions.
Yeah. So let's go a little bit deeper down the rabbit hole. So number one, I found in the Piskei Riyaz that he actually says when he's giving the halachot based on our perek. So he says of Lasof Murech Barina Fashot Vasranan, Al Koma Shabalachayot Nefesh Lachayot Nefesh, Kochai Baruchat Hashem Melech El Cheholamim. So he goes even further. He adds in the Melech over there, but in the Piskei Riyaz, one of the early Rishonim, so he actually has that as the bracha. Tosafot HaRash also mentioned the Yerushalmi. Now the Sefer Alei Tamar, okay, is a Sefer that I quoted in Shir and Shul recently. Sefer Alei Tamar, so he goes into it, and he actually thinks that there may be a slight discrepancy in the Yerushalmi. He quotes the Rokeach, and the Rokeach says that in Rabbeinu Yonah, the Girus in the Yerushalmi is Asher Barana Fashot Rabot V'chasronan. But he thinks, V'nire, the Rokeach says, Nire Shenishmata Be'er Yerushalmi Milat V'chasronan. He thinks that actually in Yerushalmi, the word V'chasronan does not show up. Sheken B'li Milazu, Biur HaBracha Satum. He says, but what are we going to do without that word? It's going to be hard to understand what's going on. So he quotes, he says, he found in another Rishon, Rav Yosofia Krovo Shel Rav Shimon Mikinon, he quotes the Yerushalmi, and look what the Yerushalmi says in his version. Asher barana fashod rabot u'tehorot l'achayot behen nefesh kol chai. Totally different girsa. Nefashot rabot u'tehorot. V'nire chaser ba al kol ma shabra l'achayot behen. Right? And he takes out the whole part of al kol ma shabra l'achayot behen. Okay. He says, Ulafigir Sato, Haki Perushu. This is what the bracha means according to this read. Asher barana fashot rabot utarot klomar behema v'of. In other words, when it says barana fashot rabot, it's actually talking about animals, about the things that we're eating, right? When we read our bracha, it may not mean that, as we'll see. Al kol ma shabra l'chayot behem nefesh kol chai. And the rest of the bracha is talking about things other than animals. In other words, nefashot tohorot is referring to animals, and lachayot b'hem nefesh kol chai is referring to other foods. Fine. But according to our girsa, nefashot rabot v'chesronan, nefashot rabot b'yoro b'nei adam. Nefashot rabot is us. Kamosha pirshatur. He made us with everything that we have and what we lack. Meaning our hunger. Now he points out in the Babli, we don't have a Chatima. And Dad, Rabbeinu Yonah says my answer. Rabbeinu Yonah says, the reason we don't have it is because it's such a short bracha. It's not like Alamechi, which is long. Baruch HaFashot is really quick. You don't need to have an extra Baruch Atah Hashem at the end of it. That's Rabbeinu Yonah's answer.
Why should the length of the bracha have any bearing on how the bracha is formulated?
Most brachot that are very short don't have an ending to it, right? You know, there are different kinds of brachot, but there are many brachot that don't have a chatima, and it's because they're very short. Short brachot don't get a chatima. Ulam, he says, so what's going on? So why does the Yerushalmi add on? Let's say the Yerushalmi doesn't disagree with the Bavli. It is a short bracha. So why does the Yerushalmi add on a Baruch Atah Hashem? He says, because the Yerushalmi has two different ideas going on in it. According to the Yerushalmi, there's two different musagim in the bracha. Echad shebarana fashot rabot v'chesronan. Bet l'achayot b'mem v'shkol chay. V'arei zedom l'brachat sos tasis v'tagel ha'akara v'kibbutz b'nei l'tocha b'simcha v'chein t'sameach t'sameach reim ha'ovim. K'simcha yetzircha b'gan eden mikedem shenechshevet k'matbea aruka shechotman b'baruch b'nigud l'brachat shakol baral chmado v'brachat yoser adam. Some brachot are considered long enough and and varied enough to get a Baruch Atah Hashem at the end. And some brachot are very short and don't need that. And in fact, Tosfot actually mentions this. He says there are some brachot that are longer and have many ideas, and some brachot that are shorter and don't have many ideas. Just to tie up some loose ends, the Chatam Sofer, I think I quoted this previously, he has a different understanding of this bracha, a very beautiful understanding. He says that we're actually thanking Hashem for our lack. Like Baruch Hashem that we have a lack. We're not just thanking him for giving us things to fill it, but thanking him for the actual chisaron.
Right,
chutz mei nefesh. He gave us a nefesh that needs. Vasab ken kedei la'achayot b'am nefesh kol chai shiya yideizeh chiyud la'nefesh kol chai v'italu zeh al yideizeh. He wanted us to require food so that we would have to make a bracha so that we could raise up our soul. And we say thank you to Hashem for the lack that we have that requires us to make a bracha. And that's the understanding of Borei Nefeshot. Okay. Are we ready to move on to the main event, to the Mezonot? Do I have everybody? Did I lose anybody? All right. Anybody who's zoned out? Time to lock back in.
Ready, go.
Okay. So what's the deal with this this idea of Rav and Shmuel? Rav and Shmuel have this idea that somehow anything that has chameshet minei dagan in it gets a borei minei mezonot. Question is, how does this work? So first, why don't we start with the daf? So Tosfot says, v'chein klayrich belaaz. I don't know what that food is, but I know how he describes it. Shosim mikemach umayim omichalav. Okay, so this is grain that you mix it up with water or with milk. So you make a bremen mezonot. Fine, sounds like porridge. V'chein kishenotnim lekemach letoch pulin o letoch adashim o krishim v'chein letoch shkedim shosin lechole. So this is a more complicated porridge, right? You take all of that and then you put in shkedim and other things that give it a little bit more flavor. So he says, you're giving it to a sick person. If you're giving it to him so that he has something in his stomach to fill him up, as the bracha is, but if it's only as a delivery system for the shkedim or the krishim or the adashim, because that's what you want to give to the sick person to make him feel better, then you don't make a brei minei mezonot. Now things get a little weird. V'tov l'achmir u'legamo b'toch ha'seuda l'achar berkat ha'motzi u'patur mimanefshach. Now, why does he say this last part? He says that it's best to eat it as part of a meal, and that way, you're putter anyways. What do I think is strange about this? Well, first of all, what does Tosfos think? What's the bracha on that food if it's ledebek ba'alma? Whatever the food is, right? If it's shkedim, it's the bracha you make on shkedim. If it's pulin, the bracha that you make on pulin. It seems like it would be that bracha. Then why do I have to eat it as part of a meal? Sounds like he's not sure. He's not sure. Last question. Normally, if I eat a food during the meal, that's not really part of the meal. And that seems to be what's going on over here. What has to happen? Normally, I have to make a bracha rishona, right? If you eat strawberries as an appetizer at the beginning of a meal, strawberries is not eaten as a part of the meal. It's either an appetizer or it's a dessert. Then you have to make a brei priya adama on it, right? So why shouldn't I have to do the same thing for this porridge? By the way, this is not my question. This is Rabbi Akiva Eger's question here in the Gilyon Hashas. Rabbi Akiva Eger says, Kashali hashkedim tocha seuda tamen bracha. He also mentions that you have to make a bracha on the shkedim itself. He wants you to make a bracha on the shkedim. Forget about the porridge itself. Why don't you have to make a bracha on the shkedim? He also thinks it's strange that it says, "Ein sarich levarich af inu rashai levarich borei minim zanot." He says, "I understand. If the bracha is not borei minim zanot, why does Tosfot say eino tsarich? He should say inu rashai. You can't." Okay, but what do we learn from this Tosfot? What do we learn from this Tosfot? You tell me about Rav and Shmuel's rule. Rabbi Shmuel said anything that has chameshet minei dagan in it is borei minei mezonot. So what do we learn from Tosfot?
It's not necessarily so.
There are exceptions. There are exceptions. What's the exception over here? If it's ledevek ba'alma. let's assume for now that devek ba'olma just means it's a way to hold the food together or to make it palatable or edible so that it enables you to eat the real food, something like that.
For example, a corn starch, perhaps, yeah, which is a binding agent.
Yeah. Now, why would this be the case? You tell me, why would this be the case? If it's the devek ba'olma, so that you don't make a bracha of mezunot, why?
I'm not eating the food because I want that. I'm just using that for the consistency of the food, not even for the taste.
Okay. All right. I'm going to ask on that, but fine. That makes sense. The Rashba comments over here, and he says, with regards to the mixture between grain and honey, which the Gemara references, he says, what are we talking about? Let's say if it was rubo dvash, umiyuto solet. Let's say it was mostly dvash, but then it was a little bit of solet. Vinami, ikro mechamat dovsho, v'salto l'hatimo l'hachshiro. That the ikar is the dvash, and the solet that's in there is just to make it, I don't know how to translate this word really, just to give it a little bit more taste, and to make it edible, sounds like. Mikol makom kevan de solto mu ravbo l'achshiro, mevarchin ala solet kedasikna mehad rabishmo. Nevertheless, even though the dvash is the ikar, it's the majority and it's the main thing, and the solet is just there to add a little bit of flavoring. Nevertheless, according to Rabbi Shmuel, bracha is mezonot. V'lo gavi de tavshila de lifta davagav de mavshi bekimcha lo mevarchin alei ela shahako. He says, and don't tell me about the case where you have the the lifta, where you have this wet consist. It's like it's a dip almost, I think, like a dip that you put some bread in there and then you eat it like that. He says, because that's different. That's just a way to deliver it to your mouth, like we said before. Aval hacha. But here, since it enhances the meal, it enhances the dish, there you make the bracha.
Don't we have a general rule that mezonot is not usually tafel?
Well, we're reading that right now. That's what we're talking about. That's Rabin
Shmuel. That's what I'm saying.
Rabin Shmuel says, Kol Sheyesh, you're not going to find another one, like another statement. Kol Sheyesh bo mechamesh avinei dagon. That's the rule. There's no other rule. This is.
This is how we practice today as well.
Sure, sure. But I do want to pick up on what my father just said. Here's the question. Is Ravin Shmuel's rule based on Ikar and Tafel, on the rules of Ikar and Tafel? Is it just a rule of thumb about Ikar and Tafel? You should assume that the mezonot is always ikar and whatever it's with is tafel. Or is it a different rule? Is it a totally different rule? So far, I don't think it's clear, but there's one person who does make it clear what he thinks, and that's the Rambam. I think it's pretty clear. The Rambam is talking about the rules of ikar and tafel. He's actually talking about the rules of mezonot, and he mentions ikar and tafel in the same sentence, right? He gives an example when the bread is tafel. That's the case where it's davek. So he doesn't disagree with Tosfot. But he makes clear that he thinks that the rule that Rabbi Shmuel set down is really just a rule of thumb of the core rule of Ikar and Tafel. Does anybody disagree with me?
So to clarify this, are we saying that Ravin Shmuel's rule is a rule of Ikar v'Tafel? And that's what they're explaining
here? According to the Rambam, it seems to be the same rule. It's just a rule of thumb about ikar and tefel. You should know, mizonot is always ikar.
I think I would have understood this without the Rambam telling me.
Okay.
I understood this before we read the Rambam.
Okay. Well, maybe we're wrong, though.
Okay.
Just one more thing, though. One more thing. When the Rambam describes when the mizonot is ikar, im irev kedei liten ta'am b'tarovet harehu ikar. I think this is important. He says, if you added it to give taste, then it's the ikar. V'chach min edvash m'rashin otan v'notnim behen chalav chita kedei ledavek v'osin behen mine mitika eino m'varech chalav b'rei mine mizonot mipnei sha'advash hu ha'ikar. When it's only for devek and it's not for ta'am, then it's going to be you're going to make the bracha on the dvash. Okay, good, fine. Here comes the Ritva, and you'll tell me whether you disagree or agree with me about the Ritva. Ritva says, here we go. Ritva says, if you have a mixture which has both dagan, mizonot, and something else, even if sha'ar ha-tarovet is ikar, nevertheless, the bracha is mizonot. I humbly suggest that according to the Ritva, you could have a situation where, objectively, the ikar of the tarovet is something else. Nevertheless, you make a brahmin of mizonot. And hence, his understanding of Rav and Shmuel is that this is a new rule which supersedes tam v'ikar. That in fact, in the case with, let's say, the dvash is the ikar. The dvash is absolutely the ikar. It's the reason you're eating it. It's the main taste. It is the rov. And we're not going to go out of our way and say that just because there's some grain in it, that the grain became the ikar. It does not. But nevertheless, even though the grain is not the ikar, there's a separate rule that says that whenever there's grain in there, you still make a barei minei mizonot. Now, thus far, it's just a conceptual difference. Obviously, if I want to make this real, I have to show that there is a practical difference. It's not good enough to just say that there's a conceptual difference. But does everybody understand the conceptual difference? According to Tosfot, according to the Rambam, Rav and Shmuel's rule is just another case of Tam V'Ikar. According to Ritva, it's not at all. Tam V'Ikar doesn't play into this. The mezonot is the bracha, even though the dagan is not the ikar. Does anybody want to disagree with my interpretation of the Ritva? Yoel, you're okay with this?
Well,
all good?
That's what he seems to say.
Okay, good. And the reason I think he says that is because he uses this word ikar. He didn't have to use this word ikar. He could have said rov. That would have been a better word to use.
Yeah, because he's using mu'at. If he's using
exactly.
Mu'at, he should be using rov.
Exactly. Ikar is a loaded word. Okay, good. I'm glad. Masha'in came, but mini perot. Okay. Now, here's the thing. The Ritva notices, he remembers, we've mentioned this, but he brings it up as a question. Miu davka b'ta'arovet hudaminen t'kol she'yesh bo mechamisha minen. He wants to point out that Rav and Shmuel's rule that anything that has grain in it is going to be a mizonot only applies when you're talking about a tarovet. And here it gets a little bit counterintuitive, in my opinion. He says, "Dula'olam chameshet amina mikar, aval k'sheinem b'tarovet, pa'amim she'itfila, v'afilu pat, v'ein mevarchen alav klal, k'dita l'kamen b'aviolo maliach u'pat, inam b'peret ginosar." If you're eating bread in order to offset the strong taste of some kind of salty food or extremely sweet fruit, like the perot kinosar, you actually don't make a bracha on the bread. You make a bracha only on the dip, let's say, that you're dipping it into. Okay? So he says, how could that be? So he says, yeah, because that's not a tarovet. That's bread and something else. We're talking about a tarovet where it's all mixed up together. But when you have bread and something else, sometimes the bread doesn't get a bracha. Now, I think this is somewhat counterintuitive because, you know, bread is now, it's really bread. But he explains, the reason is, whenever grain is mixed into something, it's always mixed in to be the ikar hatavshil. Not necessarily the ikar in the sense of tafel and ikar, but the ikar of the tafshil, meaning the backbone of it. And even though there are maybe other minim that are in ikar for the person, since it's a main part of the dish, it's considered chashuv. It's chashuv, and that's why it gets a bracha. But when it's be'ain, when it's just bread, and it's coming with something else, and it's only there, it's not there to improve the taste of the food. It's only there to enable you to eat the other food, because you cannot eat such sweet fruit by itself or something so spicy by itself. So you have to have the bread, right? Anybody ever have like really spicy Indian food or salsa or anything like that and then try to drink water afterwards? It doesn't work, right? The trick is you have to have something like a mizanot, like bread. It soaks up the food, right? When you eat that bread, you're not eating it as bread. You're eating it, and you're not even eating it for the taste of the bread. You're eating it simply to allow you to eat the spicy food. And in those cases, the Ritva says it's absolutely not going to be ikar, and you don't make a bracha on it. Because this is his words, and these are important words. Kol zman sheino meikar tavshil klal. And here he's talking about even in the tarovet. Even in a tarovet, when it's not there as food, then you don't make a bracha on it. So what's an example when it's not there as food? We've given already an example like this.
With the spicy stuff.
With the spicy, but I'm talking about with a tarovet. When it's a tarovet with grains in it, but it's not there as food. How could that be? We gave the example before, right? When it's devek ba'alma, when you're making this porridge-like mixture, but you really only want to give the shkedim, right? Because it's for the cholet. Like Tosfot mentions. The Ritva agrees with Tosfot. He actually mentions it. Okay? He says in those cases, it's devuke ba'alma, when it's just a delivery mechanism. It's not food. It's not food. Right, I think it's also similar to, you know, when you have medicine and you want to take the medicine and it's got the capsule around it, right? And the capsule, this is a big question on Pesach when it's made out of grain or something, but it's not considered food. It's only a delivery mechanism. You're not trying to eat it. You're just trying to consume what's inside of it. So it's similar to that. So for the Ritva, it's okay because it's not food.
We don't paskin like this, do we?
Don't paskin like what?
That if I use the bread just as a dip, that I don't make the bracha on it?
Absolutely we do. The Gemara says that. Yeah, absolutely. If you use the bread only for the purpose, you have to be honest, right? You know, if you like bread, but you like it bread, with the taste of something else, then it's different. But if you're only trying to eat the dip and you're only using the bread as kind of a hechi timtza so you can get the dip, then yeah, you don't make a bracha on the bread. The ikar is the dip. It doesn't happen often and people are nervous about it. But yes, halacha lemaisa, it's true. It's the kind of situation where people will say, yeah, you should probably do that as part of a meal. That's what it is. So what I wanted to show is that you have at least two different positions here. You have the Rambam who says that's all dinim of ikar and tafel. You have the Ritva who says it's not a din of ikar and tafel at all. Bread, or I should say, mine dagan, is always you always make a mezonot on things that have grains in them, except when it's not food. Whereas Tosfot seems to say, yeah, you always make a bracha on mizonot on things that have bread in them, because the bread is always the ikar, except when it's not. But not because it's not food, but because it's not ikar, because you're not thinking about it. So you're wincing, I'm guessing, because you want to see, well, if they pask in the same way, then what's the difference? So here's one possibility. The Shalmei Nissim of Nissim Kaplan, so in his Sefer, so he says what I'm saying in the Ritva. We'll skip over that part. And here's a different Ritva. So the Ritva is actually the author of the Shita Mekubeset on Brachot. People don't realize that because in many places it's just published at the Shita Mekubeset. But here's one throwaway line in the Ritva. I'll just read the throwaway line. What happens if you have a tarovet that has grain in it, but the amount of grain in it is very small? And it's not ledevik ba'alma, it's there as part of the mixture. Okay? But it's so small, it's so little, that when you take a bite, when you take a significant bite, you don't even get a kezayit in kedei achilat pras, right? You can eat for 3 minutes and you don't even have a kezayit of actual grain. So I'm thinking, I don't know, let's say you have a kugel, all right? I'm not a cook. But let's say you have a kugel. Kugel is made with grain and other products, right? Am I getting this right? So let's say you had a really runny kugel and had very little grain in it, okay? And you could take a few chunks of it, and you'll get less than a kezayit of grain in those few chunks. But the grain is in there. Normally on a kugel, you'd make a mezonot because it's grain, right? But in this case, the kugel is so runny that the grain in there is so minuscule that it's not even a kezayit in a kedei achilat pras. So in that case, the Ritva says, no mezonot.
You might have a case where the grain is just like a garnish. And you just sprinkle a couple of grains on top to make it look nice, and then
okay, yeah, I think that'll be much more obvious. I'm more interested in the case where it's like in there, it's part of the meal, and it even is a significant part of the meal. It's even there for taste. It adds something, right? So Rav Nissen Kaplan says this is the Ritva l'shitato. This is the Ritva according to his own opinion. Why? Because as he points out, according to most Rishonim, including the Avodah and Rabbeinu Yonah. And this is how it's paskened in the Shulchan Aruch. I don't think we're going to have time to see it, but it is. That whenever you have, like we said, whenever you have chameshet minei dagan, it's always going to be a mezonot, even if it's less than a kezayit bechdei achilat pras. Rabbeinu Yonah says, you still make a mezonot, even if it's less than a kezayit bechdei achilat pras. But the Ritva disagrees. Why would the Ritva disagree? So he says, maybe the Rabbeinu Yonah says what he says because it's all an issue of ikar and tafel. You examine the food, and if it has grain in it, and you can taste the grain, and you know it's there, it doesn't matter how much is in there, mezonot. Whereas the Ritva says, no. The fact is that the ikar of the tavshil is not the grain. It's not. He says, I acknowledge it's not the grain, and Rav and Shmuel don't think it's the grain either. The fact is, the only reason you make a mezonot on a regular kugel, he says, is because it has grain in there, but not because the grain is ikar, but because it's chashiv, because it's the backbone of the tafshil. But if there's so little grain in there that you don't even get a kezayit b'chdei achilat pras, then in that case, you don't make a mezonot. It can't be considered the backbone. There's just not enough mezonot in there. What do you guys think of that?
What kind of kugel could this be?
I don't know. I'm not a cook. A very runny kugel.
It's not a noodle kugel, obviously.
I made up the kugel. It's the kugel I made up. You could think of another kind of food, a chocolate bar. Let's go back to the chocolate bar. A chocolate bar that's mostly chocolate and has a little bit of wafer in it. But you have the crunch, right? You put it there because you have a crunch when you eat the chocolate.
Do you remember the Nestle's Crunch chocolate bars?
That had rice in it.
It had rice in it. Yeah, is that an example of that?
I had a lot of rice, I think. And the rice
is that an example of this? You're eating the chocolate and the rice is there just for the crunch.
I think it is a good example. I'd want to know what the ratio is, right? But you have all kinds. You know, the truth is, now that I think of it, there are a lot of, now that I really think of it, the truth is you have a lot of chocolate bars that you have to look at the ingredients to find out if there's a wafer in there because you're never really sure. You don't even know what's in there. You have a chocolate bar. It's not even a wafer. You have to look at the ingredients to find out, is there any dagan in this?
I remember when we were in camp and there was always a discussion of what bracha you make on licorice. Because at the time, One of the ingredients in licorice was flour.
Right. So absolutely the minhag is to make, yeah, absolutely. This is this discussion.
But I don't think it's done any, like that anymore.
No.
I've had this discussion with somebody and he showed me the licorice package. He says, where's the flour? Yeah. Where's the flour? But it used to have
flour. There's definitely flour in there. No, there's definitely flour in there. And there were poskim who said they should make a mezonot on licorice. But by now that's fallen away. Everybody seems to agree that you make a shahakol. And the assumption is that it's because the only reason that the flour is in there is as a binding agent, is to give it its consistency. But let's say you had a chocolate bar, right? That it has grain in it. You see that it's on the ingredients. And the only reason that the grain is in there is, like we just said, is to provide consistency. But you can't even taste it. It's mostly just chocolate, right? So in that case, according to the Ritva, it may very well be that if there's little enough grain in there, you make a shahakol on that, right? I think most of us are trained not to do that. Once we see that there's any grain in the chocolate bar, we make a mezonot, right? Which it seems to be Rabbeinu Yonah and the Shulchan Aruch. You make a mezonot anytime there's any amount of grain in there. I wanted to show you the Meiri who brings up the same issue as the Ritva, but has a different answer to it. He says, even though it's mostly other products, since there is dagan in there, it's going to be bare minim zanot. But what happens if you have a food that's mostly other ingredients and you put in the bread, you put in the grain rather, in order to blow it up, to make it more substantive? In other words, it's there in order to fill you up, okay? L'matek et ha'tam o la'avot ha'tavshil. So what does the Meiri say? The Meiri says, ein holchen acharav. And you make a different bracha. You don't make a bracha on the mezonot. You don't make a mezonot, because the only purpose of the grain is to make it bigger. Basically saying that it's not going to be the ikar. What would the Ritva think about this? The Ritva says, you always make a mezonot whenever the grain is there for the purpose of food, of eating. You only don't do it when it's there for some other purpose. Well, in a case where you fill up the tavshil with more grain in order to make it bigger, is that for food? Yeah. That's for food. Al-achilato, that's for food. You're trying to fill yourself up.
But it's a fake. It's like not the real thing, right? That's the Meiri say.
But you're adding, right, the Meiri is saying that. The Meiri is saying that when you're just adding it as filling, right, to make it bigger, then that's not the ikar. It's not going to follow the regular rules of ikar and tafel. But the Ritva would disagree with this Meiri. The Ritva would say, no, yeah, but it's for food. I don't care whether it's ikar and tafel. We're not following ikar and tafel. We're following that wherever the grain is there for food, you make a mezonot. So this would be another nafka mina between whether or not it's ikar and tafel or whether it is a totally different rule. Okay, have I succeeded?
I think so, yes.
Okay, very good. I succeeded. Okay, a little halacha l'maisa. So we look in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Kol shu ikar v'imot tefila, v'varech al ikar poter et tefila, bein mebracha shalafaneh, bein bracha shalacharah." By the way, we didn't talk about this, but there may be distinctions between a bracha rishona and a bracha achrona, like there is with rice. Lo mi baya im ha'ikar murav im ha'tafel, el afilo kol achad levado, it doesn't matter whether they're eating together or as a tarovet, afilo pachu chashuv mikol imu tafel. Here you go, Dad. Here's a halacha l'maisa. Even bread, which is always the most important thing, it can be tafel, like when it's eaten after eating a very salty fish, and you're just eating the bread so that it doesn't hurt your throat, then you make a bracha on the dag, and you don't make a bracha on the bread. Kivan shehu tafel. The Rama mentions sometimes if the tafel, this is just a rule in Ikar and Tafel, maybe we can return to this if we learn the sugya of Ikar and Tafel, when the tafel is chaviv alav, if you prefer it, then you make a bracha on it, but okay, we don't want to go into that. The Mishnah Brura mentions over here, kigon kol taruvot shnei minim sha'achad hu ha'ikar v'asheni, eino ba'ela l'takno l'achshiro, etc., etc., etc. V'da, de'b'chameshet mine dagan, kaimelan la'el de'muravin im shar minim, afilu em amuyot kol shenitan v'tafshil l'ta'am, azlinim v'atrayhu. The Mishnah Brura says, and this is quoting the Rambam, whenever the bread is put in there for the purpose of taste, we always follow it. And you make a mezonot. Okay, so it has to be in there for the purpose of taste. Even if it's a minor taste, even if the rest of the food overwhelms the taste of the grain, but it's there even just a little bit to provide a grainy taste to it, bracha on the grain.
We're not talking about bread now. We're just talking about grains.
Grain. Yeah. All right. We're talking about tarovet.
All right. I'm thinking of croutons and breadcrumbs that you.
That's a separate question. Yeah, croutons in a salad. That's a big question. That's a big shaila. This is the other Shulchan Aruch that he was quoting. V'davka k'sheyesh b'yoto kemach mechameshet aminin k'dei sheyochal mimenu k'zayit dagan v'chdei achilat pras. Remember we talked about this? Only when you have, he says, the Shulchan Aruch says, only when you have k'zayit b'chdei achilat pras, avalimein bo, but if there isn't, einu b'varach levasof b'rkat hamazon. He says, if you don't have k'zayit b'chdei achilat pras, then the bracha achrona will not be b'rkat hamazon. In which case, what does that mean? You would make a hamotzi at the beginning. See, this is the Rabbeinu Yonah. This is against the Ritva. This is not like the Ritva. Since the ta'am is not the it has ta'am dagan, you make a beret, you make a hamotzi, or you make a beret min mizonot in some cases. And then at the end, you wouldn't make a birkat hamazon because there isn't enough. Okay? All right. Let's talk about some actual halacha l'maaseh cases, and I don't want to go all the way till the end of the night, so let's go through them quickly. So the Avnei Nezer has a fun case. He says, I don't know what to call this. I was asking Sonia what the name of this food is. We couldn't come up with a name. He says, Nish'aldi b'zaken shakeshe lo lil'os v'osin lo ma'achal mi basar tachon mu'rav bo kemach v'lechem, lechem lavan, chelek chamishit. There's an old man who wants to eat meat, so what they did is they prepare for him a dish of ground up meat, which has mixed up in it bread, a fifth of bread in it, so that he can chew it, because it's hard for him to chew. In mevarchin ala barim min mizanot, bracha achad min shalosh, kol sheyesh bo. What's the bracha?
That's like making meatballs and putting breadcrumbs into it, no?
Ah, meatballs. Meatballs are like that. Yeah, that's true. Meatballs. Okay, good. Yeah, there you go. So meatballs that have, let's say, a fifth of it is breadcrumbs. It sounds like a lot. And the point is, it makes it easier to chew. So what do you guys say? What should the halacha be? What do you say, David?
It depends on who you ask it, no?
So what do you think? So give me the rundown.
No, it's Borobi name is Zoro.
Why?
Because you have some of it in it.
Okay.
Of the bread in it.
Is there a reason to say otherwise?
It's there only for the texture, really.
Right. Okay. The Ritva will say no. But it's what we said just before, between the Ritva and the Meiri.
So the Ritva would say which way?
With the Ritva will go with the meat, not with the bread.
Ritva will go with the meat, you think? Okay.
Yeah.
So let's see how the Avnei Nezer says it. So it's long. I'm not going to read the whole thing inside. Let's see what I bolded and highlighted. So he quotes the Rambam, who says, well, first of all, he says, the first thing is, Says it's actually a tenth. It sounded like a lot, a fifth. והכוונה בעיר ולחם אמרו לי שהוא כדי לדבק הבשר ויהיה מרופף קל לאכול. He says the whole point of it, oh, that's what that is. Lois, מרופף, lois, loose. Is that loose?
Loose.
Okay, the whole point of it is to make it loose. ואם היא תחיה, אם היא, אמרה לי שהכוונה גם כן שיהיה הניפוח רב. I didn't notice this the first time I read it around. I don't remember ever seeing a posse quote his mother. Baruch Hashem. Okay, there you go. Avni Nezer. So he quotes his mother. Obviously, he was the cook in the family. Who says that the point is to make it blow up, like we talked about before. So he says, if the kavana is ledabek abasar, is to have it hold together, right? So he says, the Rambam mentions explicitly. That's only when you add it as ta'am. And Tosfot says, he says, Tosfot says, it's only when you only make a bracha when it's there to sustain you, to give you some kind of sustenance. But here, where it's only there to make it loose and easy to chew, it's not. So it sounds like according to Rambam, according to Tosfot, shahakol, on the meat. That's the Ritva. Kasav debaha de davek mevarech shahakol. The kol shul kavanat achilato mevarech b'rimin emzanot. The Ritva says that whatever it's for the sake of eating, then it's b'rimin emzanot. He says, well, nira de hakavana shia luz chashiv tzorech achilat basar shia kalecho. He says, well, the lo kavanat achilata degan. He says, it sounds like over here also. It sounds like if the point is to make it loose, that's not so that you're eating the dagan. That's just to make the rest of the food loose. Ah, so it sounds like, according to the Ritva, according to this, also, you would not make a bracha on the dagan. You make a bracha of shahakal. But then he says, what if his mother's right? What if his mother's right that the point is actually just to make it blow up? He says, and maybe we'll say that it's both things. It's both to make it loose and to make it bigger. He says, well, if it's both to make it loose and to make it bigger, then you know what? The bracha should be mezonot. Because when you have two kavanot and one of them is a mezonot, then you should make a mezonot. Okay? So he's not sure. He says, aye, but I saw in the Piskei Riaz that whenever you put kemach to make it thicker, we also saw this in the Meiri, then you make a shahakal. So it's everybody against the Ritva, right? So far, basically, there is one side to say you make a mezonot. And that side is if they put it in there in order to blow up the dish, to make a thick meatball, right? Then, according to the Ritva, maybe you should make a bracha of mezonot. But according to everybody else, you should not. And if the whole purpose is only to keep it together, then also you should not make a mezonot. Va'od niratam levarach shahakol. He says, I'll give you another reason to make a shahakol. He says, because what about the Gemara that talks about where, you know, let's skip this part. It's the same stuff over and over. He says basically after his analysis of the whole sugya, he says, according to Tosfot that we saw before, he says there's three possibilities. If the purpose of the kemach inside of the food is to sustain you, then even if it's a little bit of kemach, you're going to make a bracha of mezonot. Because, and we didn't emphasize this enough, by the way, we should have. What's the reason, according to Tosfot, that Rav and Shmuel think that kemach is always the ikar? The answer is, according to the way that Tosfot understands it, the reason that you add kemach to a mixture is in order to provide sustenance. In other words, to make it a hearty food that will fill you up. And he says, it always fills you up. And so that's always the ikar. Because you, the fact that you added kemach means that you want to have a meal that's going to fill you up. So that's always going to be the ikar. What's just interesting, and Rabbi Neuberger actually emphasized this, he says, you know, different foods have different purposes. We've actually seen this a little bit, but here it's becoming clearer that, you know, let's say, for example, a fruit, the purpose of the fruit is the taste. It's a tasty fruit, so that's why you eat it. With regards to kemach, apparently, the main purpose of eating kemach is not for the taste. It's for the sustenance. It's for sa'id. And this is an important idea. It's not a trivial idea and an easy one to come up with. The idea being that Tosfot is claiming that the purpose of kemach is to fill you up and not for taste, and that's why it's always going to be the ikar. Okay? However, he says, if your intention when eating the food is not to be sustained, okay, you're eating something that's not for sustenance, nevertheless, it may be that you're still going to make a bracha on the kemach if it's the rov, if it's the majority of the food, then it's like everything else, the majority of the food, that's what you make a bracha on. But if not, if it's not the majority of the food, then if your kavanah is not on the kemach, then you're not going to make a bracha on it. That's the three stages that Tosfot has. Fine. Now he goes on and he mentions that the Shulchan Aruch passes like a Rabbeinu Yonah that you don't need a kezayit of, one might say, you know, well, these meatballs, did they even have a kezayit of kemach in them? They don't even have that. So maybe, like the Ritva says, maybe you shouldn't make a bracha on the kemach. He says, well, we don't pass like that. Rabbeinu Yonah says you don't need that. Fine. So what's the halacha? So he says, let's go back to this question. And he says, of course, according to Tosfot, you'd say a shahakol. And he says, I think that according to the Ritva also, you'd say shahakol. Because there's not a kezayit bechteach liat pas. You see, you have a miman of shach over here. The Ritva on the one hand said that if you're eating the food for the sake, if you're eating the kemach for the sake of eating, for the sake of the achila, meaning you're making it bigger so that you can eat more of it, then you're going to make a bracha on the kemach. But the Ritva also says that if there's less than a kazayit bechdei achilat pras, then you don't make a mizonot. So one way or another, it seems, you'd make a shahakol. Right? So in the end, he basically says that he thinks that you make a shahakol and a barina fashot. That's his conclusion over here for this food. Next one. Schnitzel has become the big question over here. So Rav Nissen Kaplan talks about schnitzel. He says, "What's the deal with schnitzel? Asui machetichad basar of umatbilim ato bebeitim ubekemach matzah umetagnim al ha'esh." Okay, you put breadcrumbs or matzah crumbs on it, and you fry it. Okay, so you have this piece of chicken surrounded with bread, basically. Right? So what's the bracha on schnitzel? No, Yoel, what bracha do you make on schnitzel when you don't eat it during a meal?
Well, shahakol. I'm assuming the meat is the breadcrumbs are just there for, I don't know, whatever.
Oh, so I'm actually wondering, what are the breadcrumbs there for?
Well, they're for sure for the taste, I think, no.
Oh,
I think it's clearly there for the taste. Yes.
So from what I heard was that originally when they first started making schnitzel, I don't know when they first started making schnitzel, that it was actually not there for the taste, but it was there to prevent the chicken from drying out. That it kind of like keeps the moisture in there. But these days, that's not the case. These days, people use like seasoned, first of all, they use seasoned breadcrumbs. That's first of all, so that it adds taste. And also, many people like the schnitzel because they like the texture, right? It's the crunch and the added, like, I don't know, the added breading. But I think you guys are right. I think it's there for the taste. So now that doesn't that beg the question? So now you've added kemach there for the taste. So shouldn't that make him mizonot? He says, you know what? Av shalichor kevin sheyesh b'chamisha d'minim haya roi sheyivarach v'la b'rimin mizonot. He says, v'nire d'lomi baya l'me'iri. De'ena kemach sham rak l'matek v'adai de'ena varach b'rimin mizonot. He says, according to the Me'iri, it's only there for a little bit of taste. So it's not significant in the sense, it's not there to fill you up, it's there to add a little bit of taste, but it's not the ikar. The ikar is still the chicken. So then you know you'd make a shahakal. Fa'af ledat tosvot, ha'avnei nezer, kevin shalonatan sham kemach kedei lisod alev, ela sha'atigun yalei yafeh mebeitzim, gamkein, ein levarech alav. And according to the Avnei Nezer, which is similar to what I was saying, that it's just for the purpose of the way that it's getting cooked. We want to make sure that the frying goes nicely. Okay, I don't know whether this is true anymore. Va'af ledat ha'ritva, even according to the ritva, kevin dekol shalonatan sham machal, ela rak kedei liten tam, efshar she'ein levarech alav b'rei minim zonat. It's not there as a machal, it's just there as ta'am, okay? So I'm not sure whether this is really the right read of Ritva. He says, only according to the Rush and the Rashba, right? Because if you remember, the Rashba himself says that the moment that you put the kemach there, le'achshir, right? This was the Rashba. Rashba is all the way up here. It was the first one that we saw. It's there, le'achshir, at the tafshil, it becomes ikar. So it sounds like according to the Rashba, just automatically, whenever you have mizonot that's there and is there for taste, you're going to make a bermina mizonot, which is the opposite of what the Meiri said. So he says, according to the Rashba, you make a mizonot. But he says, look in the Mishnah Brura, who quoted the Rashba, shakosha bali tein tam, berchato mikam bermina mizonot, sha'al batzal shenot tam be'isa, lo mevarchan bermina. Okay, let's just get to the point. So he says, yeah, according to this, you should really make a mizonot, according to the Rashba, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes it. But he says, but look, you have to look at two things. Number one, maybe ein kan tam dagan. You don't actually taste the bread. When you eat schnitzel, do you taste bread? Do you taste the kemach? Maybe it adds a little bit of flavor, but that's not what you taste. You taste the chicken. Can't hear you, Dad. Okay,
you don't taste it partially because it's been mixed with eggs and other seasoning.
Right. Exactly. It's not an ikar part of the taste. And he says, second of all, lo chashir shubal etakin amachal kolash narashba ela rak liten tam yisaviv lamachal. This is his big chiddush. He says, it's not a real tarovet. A real tarovet is like in a kugel. I think that the best way to think of this is, it's the difference between a kugel and a calzone, right? A calzone is a piece of, piece of kemach, piece of bread, basically, which has stuff in it, right? Versus a kugel, which is all mixed up. The breading is mixed up with all the other ingredients in there to make a cake-like mixture. And he says he wants to claim that the schnitzel is more like a calzone than it is like a kugel. And he says, ultimately, the question now becomes, it's more like bread that you're eating with something else. What's the ikar? And the answer is, the ikar is definitely not the mizonot. He wants to say that this is basically the point that the Ritva made. Remember, the Ritva made a distinction between when you eat bread with something else versus when you eat a mixture that has kemach in it. So he says the schnitzel is more like bread with something else than it is like a mixture with kemach in it. Yeah? Okay, that's schnitzel. Okay, two more things and then we're done. Rav Moshe Feinstein, he writes about chaticha shel mezonot nikaret v'chashuva shuria v'chaviva l'achol b'fnei atzma kegon k'richim dakim shel glida, ice cream wafers. I'm pretty sure he's talking about an ice cream cone. Oh, batzek de memula perot metukim, pie crust, or strudel. So what's the bracha on pie that has a crust or ice cream that you eat with a cone? Ratza lechol oto rishon bifnei atzman. Yesh la rishut levarech b'rei minei mizonot. So he said, look, you have the option of having a piece of the crust or the cone first and make a mizonot. And then you make the bracha on the rest of it. And you make the bracha on the ice cream or on the apple, let's say. But he says, because there are some people that they think that, you know, that they like the cone or they like the pie crust. However, he says, Lachain, יש לעשות לרוב בני אדם לברך תחילה על חתיכה קטנה מבזונות, ואחר כך על המבולה שהכל או העת כפי שהן. אבל, אלו שאין רצונם, אלו בהממולה, people who just ordered an ice cream and had to decide between a cone and a cup and just said cone for the heck of it, or people who just want to have the cranberry or the apple pie, but you can't have a cranberry and apple alone, so they put it in a pie, then yivarchu rak al aglida v'al hamamuleh upatur mizonot hatafel lehem. Ice cream in a cone or a pie, you make the bracha on the pie content or on the ice cream. That's what Moshe says over here. And I think at least with the pie, it depends on how thick the pie crust is, I think. I don't think he would say that, you know, if it was mostly pie, like a calzone, I don't think he thinks that you'd make a bar pi adama on a calzone that is really thick crust. I don't think.
There are also pies that have crust on the bottom as well as on the top.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. But yeah, you're right. If it didn't even have it on the top, then it would be even easier to explain why you don't make a mezonot. Last thing, cookies and cream ice cream. All right? This is Rav Belsky's psak. Rav Yisrael Belsky was co-posik with Rav Schechter at the OU, the Orthodox Union in America. So then in a question and answer session, he says, one of the flavors of Clive's par of ice cream is cookies and cream, which contains cookie crumbs or bits which are sprinkled through areas of vanilla frozen dessert. The appropriate bracha rishona on this product is she-ha-kol. But it is kedai to make a brayman of mezonot on another product and have in mind at that time to be mostly the cookie part of the ice cream as well. So this raised a lot of eyebrows, right? You have cookies and cream. They put the cookies in there because they know you like cookies, right? That's why they're there. But on the other hand, you're eating ice cream. And so he says the bracha is shehakol, and you make it without any remorse. If you're worried about it, then you can go make a mezonot on something else. But the bracha on cookies and cream, he says, is shehakol. So not always is the mezonot not always is the kemach the main ingredient that gets the bracha. So we saw the limits and the contours of the position of Rav and Shmuel. All right, shkoyach everybody, especially those who stayed awake.
Quick. Oh,